FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
The Phil Nason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we have a great show planned for you today. I have European basketball, EuroLeague with Emmett Ryan. We have Winnipeg Jets hockey with Garrett Hole, and we have fantasy basketball with Jason Walker. And up first, we have Utah Jazz basketball. They beat the Spurs. I like it. My guest likes it. Even though the Jazz are 6-16, this is a big win. Amar from SLC Dunk is in the house. Amar, what's up? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It was an amazing, it's like Christmas came early, beating the Spurs. And it's like the third time in Utah Jazz history where they're broke a 9-0 losing streak by beating the Spurs in that 10th game. So, you know, at least there's that.
That's a big thing. So every time the Jazz lose 9 straight, the San Antonio Spurs are their whipping boys.
I love it.
I'm sure they don't. Well, I bet you their fan base is making excuses as we speak.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Greg Popovich got ejected in the third quarter, and they were playing without Tiago Splitter and Tony Parker, and you know they'll probably even make a case for Patty Mills. Oh well, you know, if Mills was there, it would have been a win. But you guys lost. Deal with it. You're still going to the NBA playoffs. We're not. Let us have it.
Exactly. But they never seem to want to do that. Very gracious losers, or not very gracious losers.
Of course.
But it is what it is. And here's the deal. You know what you can say. Just like the Jazz, you've never won back-to-back NBA championships either.
Ooh, that's a
ouch.
Good one.
Exactly. Anyhow, what happened last night? How good was that for you to see?
It was great. It was the first time all season that we actually got to see the Utah Jazz play a complete game. What we've seen before, even in the blowout win against the Phoenix Suns, is that they would have spurts where they look really good, but at the same time, let the other team do something. They hung tight in the first quarter against San Antonio. Obviously, their offense wasn't clicking. Danny Green wasn't getting super open because they weren't getting the dribble penetration. And part of that is personal, obviously. The Jazz, you know, what's more impressive is that they scored 100 against the Spurs. The Spurs are one of the best defensive teams out there. And I think the reason why they scored 100 is because they actually got a little bit more from their bench. When their bench is in there, it's usually nothing. This time around, they seem to be a little bit more cohesive with whomever the token starter was at the same time. It seems like Quinn Snyder is only going 9 deep. He doesn't really trust the last few guys that much. But it was a complete game for the Jazz, and they played really well on offense. And, you know, it makes you feel like, hey, maybe you guys are actually onto something. Let's see more of this.
You know what I saw? Matt Bonner, the Red Mamba, was not the answer they were looking for Derek Favors.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a bad starting thing. Like, I think that you have to start DL at this point, especially if you're not getting the offense with everybody else. Bonner isn't going to be able to facilitate like DL can. And you need a guy like DL out there when you don't have Parker. You can't rely on Corey Joseph and Manu Ginobili to do everything, but I don't think anyone could have defended Favors that well. You know, he was just making a lot of shots, getting a lot of tip-ins. It was a very efficient night for him.
Sure was. It was an efficient night for Tim Duncan, but we kind of figured that he would do that. And that's big time. 4 blocks, too. God bless him. But you know what? It was a big win for this basketball team. Absolutely big win. Now I got to ask you something.
Uh-oh.
Enes Kanter. What's the story with him chucking mouthpieces into stands? What's the story behind that?
He's showing passion, which is what you want. For the last few years under the last coach, they really wanted to cut down on technical fouls. They played almost like Vulcans out there. They would never get angry. They would never get happy. They'd never get sad. And it almost looked like they were going through the motions. You know, one guy who didn't get much respect from the referees and never really tried to get technical fouls to fire up his team was Ty Corbin. We have an opposite personality this year in Quinn Snyder, who yells at his players. He yells at the best players. He yells at the worst players. He yells at the refs. He yells at his assistants. So that type of vocality has translated a bit more, and we're seeing that. And out of all of the guys who needs to show a little bit more fire, I think Kanter is that guy, because you don't need to rely on him, so he could be a little bit more of a loose cannon. And I think that that's when he plays best, when he feels like there's something more to it. He's one of those guys who probably needs to get motivated by hyping himself up or thinking that other people are disrespecting him. It's kind of like Kevin Garnett in that regard.
But other people are disrespecting him. That's why he does it. I thought it was fantastic, to tell you the truth. Most people would think it was obnoxious and obscene, and I thought it was great. He's probably going to get suspended, but it is what it is.
Now, well, he got fined $25K, so that's a lot of money. It's a lot of drachmas or whatever they use in Turkey.
Yeah, that's big money there. They don't use drachmas there, but what do they use? Oh, well, I don't generally go to Turkey, so I don't forget that Greek in me. You know, we don't usually go over there, but what it is. Let me tell you this, Antti Tolmik. We're going to talk about him in the fourth segment with Emmett Ryan, the European basketball expert from BallInEurope.com. We're going to talk to him about him a little bit. You made a few statements on your blog about him. And what do you think about Antti Tolmik and his decision probably to remain in Spain?
I think that it's very comfortable for guys like him to remain there. Like, first of all, not everyone goes to a different continent for work. I know you've done that. I've done that. It's a whole new world. For him, going from, you know, the Balkans to the Iberian Peninsula, that's a huge change no matter what. So going all the way to America and then getting your butt kicked by guys like Dwight Howard and DeMarcus Cousins, why would he want to do that? And I think this is the bigger factor that a lot of casual fans don't recognize, is that the rules for how much you can pay a player are different, because the equivalence between what type of lifestyle you live in Europe versus what you get in America, it's not equitable. The team pays for your hotel or your home. You get a stipend for your groceries. You have a driver to drive you everywhere that you want. In some of these countries, I know, I believe in Russia, you will have a servant in your quarters to help you get things done. So those are all things that would not be allowed with the current salary cap structure in the United States. So even if the Jazz or whomever were able to pay Tomic whatever he'd want, you know, 5, 6, 7 million, it just wouldn't add up compared to the rest of the benefits that he gets playing in Europe and also looking like a much better player as a big fish in a small pond.
Absolutely. He lives like a king over there. I know in Greece, they take care of you real well. In Spain, he's on FC Barcelona. It's the best team in Europe. He lives like a king. He makes a lot of money. He lives a beautiful lifestyle compared to what he was living. You know, there's not bombs bursting over his head every 5 seconds.
Of course.
And that's the thing that people forget to realize, is that these kids, especially from that area, from the Balkan area, they've grown up with a lot of adversity. So when they see this situation like they have in Spain or wherever, they go for it. Why would he want to come to the United States? He's going to make the same amount of money. He's going to have a far lower lifestyle.
He's going to pay more tax.
And he's not going to play.
Exactly. Or if he does play, he's not going to be playing for a winner.
Utah's going to be a winner. That's to here nor there, but he's not going to play at all.
Right. Well, and like the other thing is that like he's like all ACB first team right now in Spain. He's not going to get any of those awards or recognition in America, because like, he's like a poor man's version of Pau Gasol, who doesn't block shots. So Gasol's had a turnaround season this year, but Tomic is 27, 28 right now. You know, I really do think that if he was going to go to the NBA, it would have happened by now.
More than likely, and I think he's going to remain there. Now, talk about NBA basketball again. We got about a minute and a half. Coming up for the Utah Jazz, Miami, Washington, and New Orleans. Miami's going to be a good game for Utah, because here's the thing. They're Their defense against guards is awful. And this is a great opportunity for Trey Burke and Alec Burks and Dante Exum, to some degree, to go large.
Yeah, I think that's a definite advantage. The other thing that Miami may do is that they may not go with the traditional two bigs, and that always fools Utah up. So it's going to be a chess match between Spo and Quinn. I like that game. It's going to be a fun game to watch. They actually play Miami again next week on their huge road trip.
That's going to be fun. But we're going to see some good basketball on Friday. On Sunday, Washington. Tuesday, at the Pelicans' house. It should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun week, but you've got a couple of days to savor this victory over the Spurs and enjoy it. I love it. I big shout out to you boys out there in Utah. Well done.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sure they're playing a lot of Cool in the Gang right now.
Oh, I'm sure they are too. And I'll bet you the food was flowing, the beer was flowing, because they've got a couple days off. And I'm sure Quinn Snyder had a couple too.
Yeah, obviously, because I'm sure the players know that they have a little bit more security. I'm sure Quinn Snyder, the new coach, he's like, well, I'm trying to establish who I am in the NBA as a head coach. And it would be nice to have a few wins.
It sure would. Great stuff today, Amar. Thanks for being on the show with me.
It's my pleasure. And I'll see you next week.
You definitely will. That was Amar. You can find him over at slcdunk.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now,
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're Rob Folkett, and you're listening to Phil Nason's Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. It's time to win cash with the Flash and Jason Walker. FanDuel Fantasy Basketball Wednesday is here. And Jason's on the line. He's from rotoadvice.com. Jason, what's up, dude? How are you?
Phil, doing great, man. Doing great. Coming off a couple of great weeks of FanDuel basketball. And looking at, we've had a number of good slates lately, and we've got another one tonight.
We sure do. I haven't been doing so well. I don't know what happened, but the last week I've been in a bit of a slump. And that's the thing about daily fantasy sports is you can go through some slumps.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to overextend on any given night, because you are going to hit bad luck. If you had Andrew Bogut a couple games ago, he got hurt, played 2 minutes. Great 2 minutes. But that's why you don't want to overextend on any given night.
No, you sure don't. It can be heartbreaking. But it is what it is. You know, I play a couple of games a day at FanDuel, but still, though, I don't know what it is, but tonight's going to be the night I come out of it, hopefully. And here's my here's who I have for point guard tonight.
All right, let's do it.
I have Steve Blake at 3,800 against Minnesota. He's going to get an extended run, and he was could have been our Blazer of the Week at BlazersEdge.com. But LaMarcus Aldridge happened to have a much better week. And my other point guard is Ty Lawson at 9,000. And the reason why is because Miami allows opposing backcourts to do whatever they like. And they have for a while. And we're going to see that again tonight with Denver. And Ty Lawson does whatever he wants anyway most of the time. So this should be a good week. This should be a good backcourt for me.
I love it. I love it. I love Ty Lawson. He's one of the guys I was hoping the Atlanta Hawks would take when they got Jeff Teague in the draft. They got taken. Denver took him right ahead of him. He's great. He's a lot like Kyle Lowry. The ball is always in his hands. He's always creating. He's a great pick. I'm gonna spend a little bit of money on my point guard, and I am going to Atlanta, where Michael Carter Williams is visiting. There's just no competition. Alexei Shved's hurt. Tony Roten's hurt. He's going to play a lot of minutes out there, and Jeff Teague can get disinterested in defense from time to time. And a guy like Carter Williams just simply compiles the stats. You watch him, he's not all that impressive, but at the end of the game, he's sitting around with 45 fantasy points, and that's just what you're looking for. And then, you know, to take a discount, I love the Blake pick. You can go with LaVine out with Minnesota. Again, if Mo Williams is out again tonight, LaVine's got the run of the house, if you will. And Corey Joseph put up he's a great tournament play today, because he put up a big nothing last night. And Tony Parker, if he sits out again, which could be likely, that's a game time decision. Joseph at $4,700 on FanDuel can slide right in. And there's going to be a lot of people that are hesitant to go that route. So if you're in one of the $1, $2 tournament plays out there, not the 50-50s, no cash game there, but the tournament play, Corey Joseph has played well when Parker, but he did not do it last night. You got to have a cornerback's mentality here. Stick him right back in your lineup at $4,700.
Yes, that's a great distinction, too. This is a tournament we're in. So, that's what I'm picking. But I like your picks. Very good. I like Corey Joseph. I don't trust the Spurs players, though. I don't trust Greg Popovich, although I had Duncan last week on his triple-double. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, here's who I have for my shooting guards. Aaron Aufalo, for the same reason that I have Ty Lawson, because the backcourts destroy Miami backcourts. And I also have this team, the 76ers. They allow opponents 25 points a night from beyond the arc. There's a young man named Kyle Korver who likes to shoot three-pointers, and he does them very well. And at $5,700, he's going to do it for me this week. Got those two.
I think I've heard of Kyle Korver.
I think you have.
Kyle's lethal against anybody. But Philadelphia is not the kind of defense that can game plan on a guy like Kyle Korver. They're just not disciplined enough. He should be able to take advantage. It'd just be a matter of, will the minutes be there if Atlanta takes care of business at home tonight? But Kyle should be lethal. In the meantime, I think shooting guard is a position tonight where you just don't go looking for values. There's great richness in the quality of the players. You take Kyle Korver, maybe about as low as I would go for a short shooting guard tonight. It's $5,700 on FanDuel. There's a lot of great plays. You don't have to go all the way up to James Harden at $10,300, but even $2,000 below that. Any combination of Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Tyreek Evans, then that goes from $7,200 for Tyreek up to $8,100 for Wade. Those are great plays, very fantasy point rich, great matchups tonight, right across the board for any of those guys. And my two picks, I'm going to go with Tyreek Evans. He's the reason why Anthony Davis owners get so upset. He controls the ball, but he puts up the numbers, puts up the fantasy points, and he did it again last night. He was fantastic. And then I'm going with Jimmy Butler because I know he's going to get the volume. He's going to get the minutes at home against Brooklyn. Brooklyn gives up a lot. Joe Johnson's been banged up. So it's Butler and Evans for me at the shooting guard positions.
Those are great picks. I like Butler a lot. He's usually my go-to guy, but I'm running this system today where I just believe in this Denver backcourt against, yeah. And I usually don't, but against Miami because, you know, I've seen it happen too many times against Miami this year, so I've decided to do that. Now my small forwards. Me, myself, and Melo. I'm taking Carmelo Anthony, which I never do, but I'm taking him against the Spurs tonight because, you know, this is one of those games where me, myself, and Melo can go out there and be a jolly good fellow, and he'll put up 30 points. And my other one is KJ McDaniels from the Philadelphia 76ers because someone has to score on that basketball team, and he seems to be the one that wants to do it.
Yeah, KJ is a great slop time player, and there should be plenty of slop time in Atlanta tonight. Very athletic guy, gets a lot of stuff done, doesn't have to score a lot of points to put up a lot of fantasy points. So I love KJ McDaniels. He's a great play for value. His price is starting to inch up a little bit. He's at 5,300 tonight on FanDuel, but he's a good pick. I like Tobias Harris going against Washington tonight in Orlando. Tobias has added so much to his game this year, and you know, Washington's a top five fantasy point given up at the small forward position. Paul Pierce won't know what to do with him. They don't have anybody that can guard him, and Harris puts up a lot of great fantasy points. He is $7,200 on FanDuel tonight. If in a tournament action, Nicholas Batum against Minnesota, it's a great matchup. Batum is usually very consistent, but just like Corey Joseph, Batum laid an egg against Detroit last night and burned a lot of people. So there's going to be people not wanting to go in on Batum tonight, but he's a very solid play. You have to forget about that. It's all about tonight, and he's got Minnesota, who does not play defense. They're very disorganized defensively. Nicholas Batum would be a nice play there. On the discount rack, I'm going with Philadelphia too, but I'm going with Robert Covington, who's been getting a lot of action out there. He should get extended minutes tonight if Atlanta takes care of business. He's been playing 31, 28, 29 minutes his last three games. He's put up 25, 30, and 32.7 fantasy points on FanDuel. He's $4,100. It's discount rack time in Atlanta. Robert Covington's my discount pick at small forward.
Those are great picks, man. Great picks. Now, here we go. Here's my back or my front court. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge, 9,700, because he's just going to hammer. Power forward, Boris Diaw. Remember, this is a tournament, and people are going to back off Diaw, and I'm going to take him because Diaw is going to destroy these guys. And my center is Al Horford, $6,900.
Yeah. He's the boss. Yeah, he's the boss. I love Al. You know, he's a Gator and he's a Hawk. So he's doubly good in with me. He can come to Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving Day. He can come for a meal whenever he wants at the Walker House. So I'll tell you that. I'm going with Pau Gasol against Brooklyn. They've had 3 days off, lots of rest. He's 9,300. You're paying for Aldridge. I'm going to pay for Gasol. I know they're going to ride him extended minutes out there. Joakim Noah's hurt. That might extend the front court minutes even more. I love Gasol. He always delivers. He's a great play for me on the top end if you're paying out. Lower end, $4,900 on FanDuel. Chris Humphreys against Orlando. Hump's been delivering, and he's the type of guy that can pile up the rebounds very quick. Orlando's okay against power forwards. They're right in the middle of the pack, but Hump can certainly get the job done. Nene's still been banged up. I like Hump as a value there on the power forward. And at center, Chris Bosh is the play of the night for me. He was great last night against Phoenix. He was a play for me there. He's got Denver tonight. It's going to be a very fast-paced game. Timofey Mozgov can't stay with him. Wilson Chandler's too small for him. It's a great matchup for Bosch, $8,500 on FanDuel. If you want to go low, Tyler Zeller's been getting a lot of extra minutes, $4,100 on FanDuel for the Celtics if you're looking for a discount. But I'm riding Chris Bosch tonight against Denver.
You're taking Bosch, eh? I was going to take right. Bosch. I was going to take him. Here's what scares me away from him. He's playing in Denver, Mile High, and they never average the amount of minutes that they usually do when they're anywhere else. And that always makes me nervous, and that's why I left Bosch alone. But I'm a big Al Horford guy. I can't stand the Florida Gators. But you see, I talk to this dude every week. His name is Chris Willis. Do you know him?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah.
You know, he kind of gets me geeked up for the week with Hawks players. So I threw one in there for him today. Actually, I have two going. So it's a great time. You know, this is the great thing about daily fantasy sports. You got to be just like a quarterback. You throw an interception, you got to get back behind center and take another snap. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But we got to keep going and keep doing our research, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the thing about a guy like Horford, you keep watching him. You notice his conditioning is getting better. That's the things you got to do. You got to watch the games. You got to find out what's going on. Horford's getting more involved. He's getting more of his conditioning back, and he's going to start putting up the numbers that you're accustomed to seeing from a guy like that.
Tell you what, great stuff today, Jason. Thanks for being on the show. We'll see you Friday.
You got it, Phil. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. It's Jason Walker. You can find him at rotoadvice.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're All Forget, and you're listening to Phil Nason's Show.
Father John, I'm in love with your daughter. Oh, the one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her. Tells me lies. Oh, yeah. That's what you do.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The Miami Heat have dropped four in a row. Tonight they play the Phoenix Suns. That's not going to be a lot of fun either. And joining me to talk all about what's gone on with the Miami Heat, please welcome from HotHotHoops.com, David Ramil is in the house. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing pretty good, and thanks for having me on once again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You're here every week for a reason. I enjoy talking basketball with you. And honestly, though, boy, when you look at this, you've got
losses to Washington, Atlanta, and Memphis. Three, is there such a thing as a quality loss?
I would think not personally. I think Eric Spoelstra likes to see positives in everything, and he's a very constructive coach as far as, you know, trying to analyze why a loss happened and if there could be any positives. Miami has struggled with so many different lineups and injuries and everything else. So maybe earlier in the season, you could say that maybe those losses that piled up were a good opportunity to see what the bench could provide. But now that the team's relatively healthy, this is just more indicative of how bad the team is at this point in time of the season.
Yeah, I was going to try to stay away from that B word, but yeah, bad is the word I would use. Because in baseball, pitchers have quality starts where they lost because of a one-run game or an error or something like that. But they don't have it in basketball, and they shouldn't in this case. They got blown out by Washington. They got beaten by Atlanta. That was a pretty competitive game, though. I have to give them that. But Memphis on Sunday, what was up with that? Because Memphis is a very good basketball team. I think people kind of don't look at them as positively as they should.
I agree with you there. I think they've been so consistently good, if not great, over the last few years that you kind of take it for granted, and they've just had things happen to them, mostly during the postseason, that has set them back. But they've always been – well, they've been a Western Conference contender for a number of years now, and they look to be in a prime position this year as well. As deep as the West is, Memphis has to be right up there with San Antonio and Golden State as far as the best teams in the league. But – last night's game, Miami started off very well, and then we've seen this pattern establish itself over the last four losses where they kind of let their opponents creep in and all of a sudden establish like these record-setting offensive explosions where they shoot, you know, 50% or better. They've actually endured their worst streak in franchise history where they've allowed four consecutive opponents to score over 54% of all field goal attempts. That's ridiculous. For a team like Miami that's always taken pride in their defense, they have none. They just can't play consistently. And a lot of that is, like I said, due to the injuries, the rotation that's kind of been falling apart. But you have to look at the overall talent level and the way that the Heat have played positionless basketball over the last 5 years. And it worked when you had a certain guy by the name of LeBron James in place that could fix a lot of those mistakes. But without him there, they're very undersized. They wound up giving a lot of points up at the point guard position. And then without an adequate rim protector, all of a sudden you have these teams shooting. I think Memphis shot 60% last night or somewhere close to that. That's ridiculous. I mean, you just can't win a game when an opponent scores that well. And we're talking about Memphis, not exactly a high-volume offensive team there, although they're better this season than they have been in the past. But, I mean, they just – they were pretty close for most of the game. They did allow Memphis to build a double-digit lead early in the first half. Then in the start of the fourth quarter, they were actually within three, and then all of a sudden the team just fell apart. You know, Dwayne Wade lost his cool. He got fouled very hard, and all of a sudden he lost his temper. He just couldn't regain focus. Next thing you know, Memphis has built a 6-0 run, then that goes to an 11-2 run, and next thing you know, they scored 20 of the last 24 points of the game, and that's where it just quickly fell apart for Miami.
Sure did. Crazy stat I saw this morning. The Miami Heat are 27th in the NBA in opposing teams' field goal percentage.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like that out of a Heat team. You know, if there's one team I despise in the NBA, it's the Heat. I'm a Knicks fan. I mean, it is what it is. But I've never seen them play that bad a defense, and I thought for sure that I would never say that in this era, that they would be darn near last in opponents' field goal percentage. What gives?
You know, like I said, I think they're not suited. They don't have the personnel at this point to match up with teams as effectively as they have in the past. You know, a big part of that was losing James, who covered so many different positions. They could have that trapping defense that they've modified a little bit this season where, you know, he could go out on ball handlers. And then, you know, they have that swarming attack defense that really led to a lot of turnovers and transition baskets. They don't have the personnel for that. You know, Chris Bosch is undersized, so he's always going to be a mismatch in the post area. Their point guards are not defending very well at all. You've got a number of point guards, Kemba Walker, John Wall, even Conley Jr. last night. I mean, just killing the team. It's just been this very consistent thing where, you know, Dennis Schroeder out of Atlanta. I mean, every point guard just kind of, you know, licks their lips a little bit when they see Miami on the schedule, because they know they're going to have a big game. And then that leads to, you know, when you have the point and the pivot having defensive mismatches, then all of a sudden that forces these defensive rotations that are being blown. You lead to wide open perimeter shots, or, you know, if a team is a decent passing unit, they can find their big men inside for an easy basket. It's just everybody's having their way with Miami's defense. The team seems to be aware of these problems. They acknowledge that people aren't doing very well as far as their individual matchups, but there's no fix in sight. I don't think there's any rim protection with, you know, Chris Anderson. I know he's hurt. I don't think when he comes back at his age, at this point in his career, I don't think he's going to be an adequate rim protector. There's nobody on the roster to add to that kind of rim protection. So it's just something that we're going to have to deal with throughout the course of the season.
You've been reading my notes here, because I have here to ask you to bring up the fact that point guards just kill the Heat, especially in the paint.
Yeah.
They get them downside, down low, and bang, they kill them. That's a bummer. You know something? I got a funny one to tell you and the Heat fans, though. I listen to the Cavs on the radio. That's how I usually end up listening to them, because of my work schedule and this and that. And at the how they introduce the players, you know, the players go, my name is Kyrie Irving. My name is Dion Waiters. I sit the bench, blah, 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 whatever it is. Well, with LeBron James, he says, my name is LeBron James. Position, I play them all. and you know, and when I was thinking about that when he was playing the other night, when this came on, and I said, you know something? That has a lot to do with why the Heat are where they are, because they could rely on him so much defensively. And that's where he was always, I think he's always been underrated in that respect. But rim defender, what do you think? Now, they didn't need one before during the LeBron James era. You think they should go out and get one now, though? Because they've been reluctant to do so. But, man, I think they might need one.
I mean, that sounds like an overly simplistic solution, but I think given the personnel on this team, they need something. You know, you don't need a rim protector when you have guys like LeBron, you know, that fits so perfectly in that positionless basketball that they employed over the last 4 years. And so because of their swarming defense, because of the number of turnovers, they could have a certain weakness at the paint or in rebounding, and it didn't matter. That was by design. Now it's not by design anymore. You don't have that kind of release valve in LeBron James to you know, mask some of your, you know, inefficiencies or your weaknesses on defense. You need somebody to protect the rim. And I just don't know that there's anybody available at a decent price. I don't know what Miami could move or who they could move in order to acquire somebody. You know, there aren't really a number of free agents still available that seem like a significant upgrade. I mean, yes, they obviously do need some kind of rim protection. I just don't know that they're going to find it.
James Ennis, he might be the ticket. He could be your golden ticket in Miami to get you a rim defender. Tonight, Phoenix, you won't need a rim defender there, but that backcourt's crazy, and they've got three of them back there. And they just knocked off Dallas. That was a pretty impressive win for them. How the Heat going to fare in this one?
You know, I think that maybe they might have a chance just because Chris Bosch might be able to dominate inside. I mean, he might have to have a really huge game in order for Miami to pull out a victory. I think Dwayne Wade might get a little fired up about going up against Eric Bledsoe. As good a defender as Bledsoe is, Wade is still competitive. He's still got that, you know, fire to him. So he might be up for a big challenge. But it's going to be a tough one because they're going to have to limit everybody else. They're obviously going to be exploited at the point guard position. You know, Dragic, Isaiah Thomas, and Bledsoe could kill them in the backcourt. So they're probably going to give up a huge chunk of points there. And then hopefully they can shut down everybody else. It doesn't seem like a very good matchup just because Phoenix is so fast and Miami, their pace is so deliberately slow at this point. They just don't get a lot of shots up. I think they're near the bottom of the league as far as total shots per game. That pace is just killing this team. They're no longer the fast break team that they were during the Big Three era. So it's an interesting matchup. It doesn't bode well for Miami, but there could be a chance there. It's too hard to predict. If you had asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said it would have been a clear victory for Miami. But we've seen so many glaring weaknesses, particularly on defense, that it's very hard to predict how this team will match up.
Especially in the last four games, too. It's really become apparent. And Dwayne Wade's back, and he's cranking it. But if you're playing Daily Fantasy on Tuesday and today, take the Phoenix Suns backcourt. You'll get him for a very good price. And unfortunately for Heat fans, they're going to score a lot of points. The rest of the week, Denver, Utah, Chicago. Chicago, that's going to be a lot of fun, David. I can't wait to see this team come out of this a little bit. I think they will. And if they don't, it'll still be fun talking with you. Great stuff today. Thanks for being on the show.
You got it, Phil.
All right, that was David Ramil. You can find him over at hothoops.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're all Forget, and you're listening to Phil Nason's Show.
Father John, I'm in love with your daughter. Oh, the one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her. She tells me lies.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up an amazing day of NBA, NHL, fantasy basketball, and now EuroLeague. And doing just that with me, as always, from BallinEurope.com. Emmett Ryan is in the house. Emmett, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Phil, it's great. And it's a good time of year as well. EuroLeague is a regular season, which is kind of a misnomer because it's actually got fewer games in the second round. But that's coming to an end. We got two rounds of games left, and the third last round, which was last week, sort of separated a lot of teams out, ended one group essentially. So it should be a nice like sort of finish to this part of the season.
It should be. Real Madrid is tied with FS Istanbul in Group A. That's amazing. But what's the big game that this week in Group A?
Well, as I was looking at the schedule, the one that comes out for me is actually FS's home game, really, against Nizhny Novgorod. Essentially, the way the group is shaping up, Nizhny basically need a win because you've got Unix Kazan and Zalgiris Kaunas. They're playing each other this week. One of them is going to be 4-5, the other will be 5-4. That game will kind of be moot if Nizhny Novgorod don't get that win in Istanbul. So, like, even though for Kazan and Kaunas, that's a big game, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, they're both going to be looking at it kind of going, so long as FS take care of Nizhny Novgorod, we're okay no matter what happens in this game. And you've got to favor the Istanbul guys there as well because they know that a win in that game guarantees them a top two spot in the group, which is a better seeding in the next round.
Sure does. It's an interesting Group A, but Group B, this is kind of interesting too because you've got CSKA Moscow, 8-0. They're in easy. Let's not even worry about them. Maccabi, let's not worry about them. The one I'm looking at this week is Limoges against Alba Berlin because Limoges wants to get out of that basement and make the playoffs. Am I wrong? Which is the best game in Group B?
You're spot on. Limoges and Alba Berlin is huge. The other game that probably will only affect academic side, if Unicaja Malaga beats CSKA Moscow, and that's not impossible given CSKA have little to play for, that means Unicaja are safe. They probably are safe already as it is with the way the standings are, but Alba, if they win against Limoges, their destiny is in their hands essentially in round 10, and that's huge for them. So it's a tough road game for them in France, but if they win, if they actually win this game, they're definitely through. I did my math wrong there. So if Alba can get that win at Limoges, there's nothing Cedevita Zagreb can do realistically to get through. Cedevita play Maccabi in a game Maccabi are going to be pretty up for because they lost earlier in the season to Cedevita, and they know that like reversing that result will be huge for them confidence-wise. I see Maccabi doing that. So if Alba can somehow beat Limoges, who, in fairness, I thought, and most experts did as well, thought would be academically out of it by now. If Alba can get that win, that's huge for them. A win for Limoges, and suddenly we've got a crazy week 10 ahead.
You got that right. I'm looking forward to that game, by the way. That should be a lot of fun. And that's being played, I believe, Thursday, right?
I think so. I'll just double-check that.
Nope.
It's Thursday. No, it's Friday.
Friday.
Well. 8 o'clock CET, which works out at, doing my math, 2 p.m. Eastern.
2 p.m.
So
Eastern.
After lunch on Friday.
Absolutely.
After lunch on Friday, yeah.
Yep, and you go to Emmett's site, and he'll tell you how to find it. It's fascinating.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a fascinating game. I'm going to be watching that for sure. Friday's my light day, if there's such a thing in this business. But Friday's my light day. Group C, Emmett. I like Group C a lot. And the one I'm looking forward to is the Battle of the Basement between Bayern and Zgorzelic. Did I get that right?
You were closer than I've been in any of the previous weeks we've done this show, Phil. That's the best way to say it.
I'm terrible with these names.
More because just to see if Bayern can show up NED. Like this week, today, in fact, Pezic, the coach of Bayern, openly admitted that they just aren't a defensive team. They haven't got a single result, a single W because of their defense. They've rode their offense too much. Their loss last week at Milano ended their EuroLeague season. Both these teams will go into Euro Cup, which is the secondary competition, but that won't be until after Christmas for them. For these teams, well, like for the Polish guys, to Zorilek, it's really just academic. They just want to get the game against high-level competition. For Bayern, it's can they do something, just use this game to work on their D to get some confidence back, because it's not just affecting them in the EuroLeague, which they're out of. It's affecting them back in the Bundesliga in Germany, and that's their road back to EuroLeague next year. So, yeah, for Bayern, even though the result isn't as important as the performance this week in this one.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. But Barcelona, boy, they are really playing well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are a very good basketball team, is the polite way of phrasing it. And they're playing a Fenerbahce side at home. Fenerbahce know that if they can pull out the win, they'll probably edge Panathinaikos for second place in the group. Panathinaikos travels to Milano, and Milano are in relaxation mode in EuroLeague at this stage. They're finishing fourth. They know they are. They're through to the top 16. This isn't exactly a big game for them. So they probably are thinking domestic season still getting intense. Focus on the Italian league. That's a very winnable game for Panathinaikos. So Fenerbahce will know that Panathinaikos have that, and they're going to go to Barcelona and try and go in all guns blazing.
And that's going to be a fantastic game, and that's going to be played at 2:45 Eastern time on Thursday. I'll be watching the Panathinaikos destruction of Milan, of course. But, well, yeah, I'll be watching it. Somewhere along the line, I'll be watching it. Now, Group D, what do you got going in Group D, Emmett? What's so big about Group D this week?
Group D is just silly, is the best way to put it.
But Olympiacos lost finally.
Finally, but there still is a mathematical chance for every team to progress. It makes Group B, we were talking about a minute earlier, look sane. Essentially, Zvezda, who are 5-3, they are through, but even though if you look at the table, you'd go but wait to see them in 52 games behind them. The way the head-to-heads match up, Zvezda are safe, but that still leaves two spots for four teams. That's going to be a little bit on the crazy side. You've got Zvezda playing at Olympiacos, so the two teams who progressed are playing each other. That's not going to be relevant. Neptunus, Galatasaray, Laboral Kutsa Vitoria, and Valencia, two absolutely massive games. If Valencia beat Laboral Kutsa are far from safe going into the final week, no matter what happens between Galatasaray and Neptunus. Neptunus, as they've found with every situation over the last couple of weeks, they've got to find a way to get a road win here. A win here. It's a home game for them, sorry, not a road game. They've been very hard to beat in Klaipeda. Galatasaray have a better team, but they've recently lost to Furkan Aldemir. He's gone off to the NBA with the Sixers. So you're kind of looking at this as a weakened Galatasaray team. They're playing in a hostile arena, and Neptunus have won games you wouldn't have given them a hope of at home so far this season. I'm leaning towards the Slovenians to keep themselves alive for at least one more week, and that'll give us three teams on 4-5, one team on 3-6 going into the last weekend of the season. Two teams on 4-5, one and two on 3-6, all still very much in contention in the last week of the season. So this is going to be a crazy group, and it's not going to get resolved for at least one more week. It's going to the wire here.
And that's a beautiful thing for us in the media, because we get to, it's called job security. I want to ask you, we talked about Antti Tomic from Barcelona. He's Jazz property, and who knows if he's going to play or not, if he's going to come over. What do you think is going to happen with that kid?
The thing with Tomic was, when he moved from Real Madrid to Barcelona, he was sort of at the lowest his stock has ever been. Like, people figured, well, yeah, he's gone across city. He wasn't doing amazing things at Real. And then he goes to Barcelona, and it was a total career evolution. He's only had good times with Barcelona. So that's been great for him. So it's part of it is down to the defense they play there. It really suits a big man. And also for a slender big as well, it's very useful, because he's in an offense just suited to his size, basically. Like, he can use his height and his length, not as much as he needs to use his body. There are other guys there to do the physical pounding. So him in the NBA, that's the one concern you'd have, is he's not like a Pero Antic who came over with a lot of beef in him. Tomic, he's a strong guy, don't get me wrong, but for a guy his height, you expect someone with a bit more meat in them, essentially. So that's the one concern I thought I'd have with Tomic in the NBA, the physicality, because he certainly has the skill set, the athleticism. It's whether he can handle the banging of playing at the five, really, in the NBA. For me, that's, I'm a huge Tomic fan. I think he's a fantastic basketball player, but I'm just not sure he can handle the physical side of the NBA.
And that's just it. That's what we're talking about earlier. And the rumor is he's going to stay in Europe. And it all boils down to, it's a crapshoot with these guys, right? Because we wouldn't have saw Piero Antic last year.
Yeah,
I had never thought he would have made it to done what he's so far been able to do in the NBA. I wouldn't have called that.
Absolutely. Like, he's proof that, you can't really see a player, what he's going to be like in the association, until he goes there. Because, Piero is a cult favorite in Europe, aside from obviously the green side of Athens. But everybody always found him a lot of fun to watch. But none of us seriously thought that Piero was going to be a player who could play at that level. And he's really proved us all wrong, and I'm delighted for him.
Well, I'm delighted for him, too. It's just that, when you draft these guys, you really have no idea. And a lot of times, they don't want to come over unless you give them a lot of money. It's difficult for a kid like Tomic, for example, to leave. He's fantastic in Barcelona. He's become a hero, where if he goes to the NBA, he's probably going to be riding a pine, right?
Yeah, and he's got a lot of security financially there. Like, he's not making top-level NBA money, but the early money he's making in the NBA would actually be worth what he's getting paid now in Europe. So he knows if he goes to the NBA, he's making a bit of a gamble. For someone like Piero, he was a cut in salary, but not as big a cut from where he was at. And he was figuring, I'm 30, I've been sensible in my life. I was a little bit crazy as well, because Piero. But, he figures, if I'm going to ever make it in the NBA, this is my shot, this is my time. And, you see players as well, it takes them a year to get there. Like, Dennis Schroeder, last year, we were thinking, oh, I don't know, man. Now Dennis is looking like he's there in the NBA. He's at the level needed. Like, took him a year to get used to the standard. Obviously, Tomic, he's a little bit older, so you'd think his learning curve will be a bit nicer. But at the same time, you're kind of going, but he just may not be suited to the game, and that's always going to be in the back of our heads until we see him on an NBA court, and that's a huge difference, and it's a big concern for sure.
Sure is. Great stuff today, Emmett. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Always a pleasure, Phil.
All right, that was Emmett Ryan. You can find him at ballineurope.com, and that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly...
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.